Thank you. I'm actually going to smudge our space. I know we're online, but still can be a real impact of just knowing that I'm just really smudging the portal. So really take this in. Smudging sage and rosemary from the unceded territory that I am supported by. I'm supported by the Sailor Tooth, Seashell Nation, territory. So just, take this in. And we smudge just to really purify. So purification. And to just let the ancestors know that we are calling in the ancestors who take care of us. This is what this smudge is doing, is calling in our ancestors. Okay. So we are going to begin with a meditation. And those of you who've sat with me before will know that I love meditation. And I used to love metta more than I loved mindfulness, and then learned many moons ago that metta and mindfulness are all part of the same. But we are going to focus or go through the doorway of metta. I'm just remembering this non-dual teaching. Metta is part of mindfulness. Mindfulness is part of metta. We'll go through the doorway of metta, and through that doorway, we're going to become mindful of ourselves, so that we can really begin to take pride in who we are. So we can really begin to take pride in who we are. And I just want to say, for some of you, this might be challenging, and that's okay if you notice it's challenging. So if at any time you're really struggling, I just want you to resource yourself. You can get up and walk around. You can move your head side to side. So nobody's holding you down saying you have to do this meditation. Okay. So really, it's taking pride. And part of taking pride is honoring how we are doing in the moment. So, you can lie down. You can sit down. You can walk up and down in the room. You can just stand. It's totally up for you. And there you see to my left, as I'm pointing, there is a statue of Kuan Yin. So just know that Kuan Yin is supporting us right now. Kuan Yin, and we'll hear a bit more about Kuan Yin later on. But just to say that Kuan Yin is the bodhisattva who hearkens to the cries of the suffering. So any moment of struggle, just look at Kuan Yin and really see if you can feel Kuan Yin's compassion, Kuan Yin's equanimity, Kuan Yin's metta. Okay. So we will do the practice of the five basic needs of the heart. And I'm just putting a timepiece near me. Okay. So just get yourself ready. Okay. Settle into your posture. And set an intention. Today's theme is about pride, having pride in ourselves. Sometimes we think, why should we have pride in ourselves? And we know that these practices of metta belong to a group of practices called the Sublime Abodes or the Brahma Viharas. And we always begin with ourselves. It's so important to bring ourselves into the equation. Yeah. And I have a hand on my heart and just want to invite you to either put a hand on your heart or a hand on your tummy. Really experience yourself breathing. Experiencing your body. Yeah. This body that carries you around 24/7. Whether it's through walking, driving, or in a wheelchair or on crutches, this body supports us and carries us around in this life. And if we can begin to take pride in this body will serve us well. So, attention, paying attention to your unique body. Each and every one of us has a unique body. Honor it. Yeah. Honor it by touching it. Breathing in to this unique body. And we pay attention to this body by simply noticing sensations in the body, noticing what your feet are touching, noticing what your sitting bones are touching, notice what your hands are touching. Just simply noticing touch to the body, honoring this body with pride. And we do this practice together, so just have the sense of being in community with 73 people. We're not alone. We do this practice together and having a sense of your ancestors supporting you to do this work. The fact that you are here means that you had an ancestor who's been looking out for you. Yeah. Attention. Paying attention to the body with pride. And I'm going to call your name in as we pay attention, just knowing that I am radiating compassion and loving kindness to each and every one of you. Eleanor Foster, Rachel, Sophia, Tricia, Meg, Murita, Abbas Jabaruti, Dee Jamila, Mary F. Hanua, Laurie Fear, Lynn, Larry Kay, Pauline, Georgina Bedner, Rivka Orion, Jupp, Ruby T, MB, Kath, Melanie, Deborah, Zoe, Pete, Michaela, Linda Hillier, Gillian, Erin, Carolyn Butler, Larry, Chiara, Brenda Collins, Sandy Levine, Melanie, Dipua Cecile, Tay, Jane Miller, Gia, G-I-R-E, Gia, Patrick Hefferman, Jotika Hermson, Jenny, Tracy, Jocelyn Leighton Matthews, Janet G, Claire Goldstein, Inna, Carolyn Havert, Hannah, Henrik Meyer, Victoria Martino, Anne Savalda Cristales, Gareth, Jackie Malcolm, JB Bell, Graciela Libardo, Priya, Julia, Paul, Mometz, Darshna, Marion Michelle, Ash R, Jill, Jerome Friedman, Rita, Kimberly, Shelley, Michelle Fisk, Julia, Joe, Karen DePhillips, Drew DiGennaro, Sean, Marielle, Marielle D. Yeah. Sending each and every one of you compassion and loving kindness. And if your name wasn't called, then please put it in the chat. Okay. Yeah, and having pride. Pride in who you are. Affection, cultivating affection towards ourselves. We can only really have pride in ourselves if we are tender towards ourselves, if we are loving towards ourselves, kind towards ourselves. So it's an invitation to hold yourself, yeah, hold yourself in your arms or keep your hand on your heart and leaning into your arms with affection. Really see if you can melt into this moment of leaning into your arms or your hand on your heart or your belly and giving yourself some affection and having the sense of looking at yourself with pride, looking at the self with warm, kind, loving eyes, and really see if you can see yourself and look at yourself with a sense of pride. Yes. And having the sense of holding a newborn being in your arms with affection. And this newborn being can be a puppy, a kitten, or a baby, but just have the sense of holding this newborn being in your arms. And as you look at this newborn being, you begin to see yourself and just really holding this being. This being once upon a time was this tiny, helpless being, and looking with that tiny being with pride. Remember to breathe with pride. And really see if you can enjoy this moment. If there is aversion towards this moment, just give yourself some compassion, hold yourself. That's all. Try not to push it away. Just give it compassion. Become friends with this aversion so that you can really touch into some pride. And this isn't a pride that's full of conceit. Yeah. This is a pride of just acknowledging your existence, acknowledging that you matter, acknowledging that you need to be seen, held, loved. This is the kind of pride we're talking about, not the pride that's full of conceit. Appreciation, cultivating appreciation towards the self. Yeah. And an aspect of pride is appreciation. It's just appreciating the self, appreciating how far you have come. Appreciating the fact that you chose to be here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday evening. You just chose to be here on a Sunday. No morning, no afternoon, no evening. We're all here on a Sunday practicing together. You could have chosen to have done something else. So have a sense of appreciation towards yourself with pride. appreciation which is imbued with pride, which is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from your own actions, derived from who you are today. Deep pleasure or satisfaction for some of the qualities that other people admire in you. So with this sense of appreciation towards the self, really see if you can imbue it with pride. The sense of pride, which is a feeling of deep pleasure, deep satisfaction derived from your achievements, from your qualities that other people love about you. Yeah. Really see if you can just begin to delight in oneself. Yeah. Really, truly appreciate yourself. We are reclaiming pride, reclaiming appreciation. There can be such negative connotations, even negative religious connotations around pride. And I just said, this is a pride that's not filled with conceit. It's a pride that's honoring and acknowledging oneself, one's achievements, one's actions. In fact, if we don't honor and acknowledge ourselves, we get completely disgruntled, completely upset when other people don't recognize us. So if we can begin to recognize ourselves then and see ourselves, we will not be hungry for somebody to pat us on the back and say, well done. Acceptance. Moving into acceptance. How do we accept our lot? Acceptance isn't resignation. Acceptance is a wisdom teaching. Acceptance is a non-dual teaching. There is no past, there is no future, there is just now. Yeah. There is no past, there is no future, there is just now. And what we do in this moment of now impacts the next now. There's never a present. There's just now. And what we do in this moment of now impacts the next now. So yes, of course, if we've been unskillful and done things that we regret, just let go of the past. It is done. What you can do is do something in the now, something differently in the now. This is why acceptance is a non-dual teaching. We don't let ourselves be dragged into the past and stuck into the past with all the awful things, all the things we should have done and the regrets we had and what we should have done for the children or for our parents or for friends or siblings. And we go around and around and around. Let it go. Let it go and come into the now. And in this moment now, we can do something different. And then being dragged into the future, what we can do in the future never comes, it never arrives, and it's just pointless just to be in the now. 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 Now, 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 acceptance is in the now. And bring yourself into the now by having pride in this body that supports you to practice. So become aware of your feet. What do the feet feel like? Become aware of your legs. Become aware of your torso. Become aware of your arms, face, tongue inside your mouth, eyes, and allow the body and the breath to bring you into the now. Really see if you can feel the rise of the belly in, out as you breathe. Or maybe you will experience the touch of the breath on the upper lip and inside your nostrils. And the mind will wander. The mind will get caught in the past, will get caught in the future. It will get caught into having a conversation because that's what the mind loves to do. So what? Just come back to the body, come back to the breath, come back to now. That's all we need to do. There's nothing wrong. If you get dragged into the past or pulled into the future, you find yourself in conversation with yourself. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. What we just do, we smile, here we go again, and we come back to the body and to the breath. Now. And in this moment of acceptance, in this moment of now, we just move into allowing, just allowing anything to arise and cease. If we allow it to arise, it will cease on its own accord. We try and push it away or we catch onto it and fuel it, it won't cease. So just allow things to pop up and cease. allow thoughts to be like bubbles, bubbles that just burst into nothingness. And just knowing that everything that arises in the mind is illusory. Everything that arises in the mind is fabrication. Everything that appears in the mind is illusory. So there's no need to hold on to it. Just allow the mind to arise and cease. And if there's a lot of chatter, it just means that the mind needs to settle. So inviting you to take a breath in and expanding the breathing throughout the whole body as we begin to bring this practice transition the practice into more of a talking practice. There is no beginning, there is no end, it's all practice. So I'll just ring the bell and we'll transition into me doing more talking rather than leading a practice. And if you would like, it's an invitation for you to write in the chat how it was for you. And some of you just need to just be in your own kind of space as you come out of this practice. Some of you might want to communicate. So you can communicate through the chat and just how was the practice for you. Yeah. And whatever arose for you. Okay, well, somebody even put a tick. Okay, so I know people are here that you can hear me. Okay, thank you. Affirming. Okay, thank you. And as I say, you don't have to put anything in the chat, just if you would like to. Peaceful and nourishing, feeling calm and grateful, gratitude. Yeah, and I feel all of those things too. So I could see and feel my adrenaline. Well done for connecting to the energy arising in the body. Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, Okay. So the topic is pride. So first of all, I want to say happy pride to any of you who are celebrating LGBTQIA2 plus pride. Yeah. Just a happy pride. And it's moved into June, July and August. So just really want to say happy pride. And I just also want to acknowledge that it isn't just people who identify with being LGBTQIA2S+, that many of us have relatives who identify as that. Many of us have children or even parents who identify as that. So that's why that teaching that we are all interconnected. Yeah. It's a beautiful teaching that we're all interconnected, and just really taking a moment to just have pride in that. Yeah. Just the deep pleasure and deep satisfaction of knowing that we are all interconnected. And what I mean by this is that if we were all standing in a circle holding one piece of rope and I pulled the rope, you would all feel it. You would all feel the vibration of me pulling that rope. Or if we were all standing in a circle holding the same piece of elastic and I pinged the elastic, each and every one of us will feel that vibration. And so just know that any action we do, that those actions have consequences. And that doesn't mean to say they're negative consequences. It's just that people will feel our actions. There will be a vibration of our words. Yeah. So just remembering that. And yeah, we're talking with this pride of a non-dual teaching. I take pride in this teaching of a non-dual teaching because this is the wisdom of our ancestors. This isn't my teaching. These are the ancestors channeling through any of us who share these teachings. You know, you read these books and just know it's been written and said all before. And it's just ancestors channeling us to remind us, okay? And I want to remind you of some of the words of the prince, of when the prince became woke. When the prince became woke, it said that the prince said, "These labels that identify me as a god, as a man, as an asura, as a human, are destroyed by me." Okay. So how do we begin to destroy these labels? Yeah. Well, first, we have to come into relationship with our identities. And as we come into relationship with our identities, we have to remember that it's not binary. It's not this or that. It's not man or woman. These labels, who decided man? Who decided woman? Sometimes, you know, I'm walking along the beach or I'm walking along the road and I see somebody who's been labeled as man, and yet the top half of the torso, if they were labeled as a woman, would be arrested for walking topless on the street. So where is this binary man or woman? We are so interconnected. And I have friends who have the courage not to shave their body, not to pluck their facial hair. Yeah. And so I always say that if many women didn't remove that facial hair. And we know the reason why women remove that facial hair, because they would get so much stigmatization out there in the world. It takes courage. And those women who do it, they, how can you distinguish between male and female? Yeah, it's all on a spectrum. It's all gender fluid. And we have to realize this. That's gender fluid. This thing of non-binary, gender fluid, trans, this isn't new. It's always, always been there. It's not new. So if we go to the Buddhist teachings and we begin to look at some of our bodhisattvas, and I want to call to mind Avalokiteshvara, okay? Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara in India is in male form, okay? And then Avalokiteshvara becomes Kuan Yin in China in female form. And then there are many names. There's Zhen Rei Zig, which is another form of Kuan Yin or Avalokiteshvara, the four-armed Avalokiteshvara. There's Padmapani, there's Lokanath. There are so many different forms of this bodhisattva. And this form comes in male form, female form, non-binary form, 32 forms, okay? Yeah. So this thing, this, it isn't new. Yeah, it's not new. And I want to talk a bit about Kuan Yin, because Kuan Yin has been a bodhisattva that has been adopted by the queer community, by the trans community, by the non-binary community, because Kuan Yin reflects who we are. Yes, Kuan Yin reflects who we are. Yeah, that we don't have to be male, that we don't have to be female, we don't have to be non-binary, we don't have to be trans, we can be whoever we want. Yeah, and Kuan Yin has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And there are many, many depictions of Kuan Yin. And as I say, on my shrine behind me to the left, or for some of you to the right, there is Kuan Yin, one of the forms of Kuan Yin. And this form that I have, Kuan Yin is holding a water vase. Yeah, a water vase, which is a symbol of good fortune, but also it contains the nectar of life. Yeah. And may it give us pride and life if we are able to connect to this nectar of life. Yeah. And in the right hand, Kuan Yin is holding a branch. Yeah. A willow branch. A willow branch to help purify us. And as we, many of you know, Kuan Yin is sometimes called the goddess of mercy, or the god of mercy, the one who hears the cries of the world. Yeah. And you can see Kuan Yin paddling or rowing across the ocean at night. Yeah. And Kuan Yin has these virtues of mercy and modesty and courage and justice and wisdom. Yeah. So let's just bring Kuan Yin into being. Let's see if we can connect to Kuan Yin. Yeah. And I'm just going to wipe my brow. It's very hot here and I'm perspiring here. So just wiping my brow. Okay, so let's see if we can bring Kuan Yin into being. I'm going to firstly chant Kuan Yin's mantra. Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Kuan Yin Shi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Kuan Yin Shi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Kuan Shi Yin Pu Sa, Namo Kuan. Guan Shi Yin Pu Sa. And I'll put the mantra in the chat so some of you can see the mantra. And there are many ways to chant this mantra. Okay. So settling in. Whoops. Settling into your posture. And having the sense of you just sitting in the sky. And we're always in the sky. Again, earth, sky, it's all one. Okay. And so we're always in the sky. We're always in the earth. So just have the sense of just settling into the sky. And as you settle into the sky, see where the sky meets the ocean and the ocean meets the sky. And where the sky meets the earth and the earth meets the sky. And where the sky, ocean and earth meet each other, all as one. And then appearing in our minds, the traditional form of Kuan Yin in white porcelain, holding a vase full of the nectar of life and good fortune. And in the other hand, holding a willow branch, purifying our karma, brushing our aura, purifying our karma. And as you imagine Kuan Yin, feel Kuan Yin tipping that vase and pouring the nectar of life into the crown chakra of your head. And just really imbibe this nectar as she pours the nectar of life into your whole being. And if you're not a visual person, just feel the energy of Kuan Yin. Or say the words of their mantra. Yeah, or perhaps smell the willow branch. We visualize in many different ways. We visualize in pictures. We visualize in smells, we visualize in sounds, we visualize in touch, we visualize in taste. So you choose the way that you visualize as you begin to experience the nectar of life being poured into the crown of your head. And if you have your own Kuan Yin chant, then say that too. I will introduce another one. Om Kuan Yin Puha, Om Kuan Yin Puha, Om Kuan Yin Pusa, Om Kuan Yin Pusa, Om Kuan Yin Pusa, Om Kuan Yin Pusa, Om Kuan Yin Pusa. Om Kuan Yin Pusa, 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 Om Kuan Yin Pusa. Om Kuan Yin Pusa, 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 Now burning rosemary, sage, the smell of Kuan Yin spurning through the portal. We're going to begin to let go of Kuan Yin. Let Kuan Yin dissolve into the sky, into the ocean, into the earth. And we let Kuan Yin dissolve, the mantra dissolve. And as Kuan Yin dissolves, Kuan Yin can dissolve into our bodies, so we too can become Kuan Yin. We too can begin to radiate compassion towards ourselves and all beings. Again, it isn't binary. We don't just radiate compassion to all beings. We radiate compassion to ourselves so that we can radiate compassion to all beings. So beginning to dissolve Kuan Yin into the sky, into the earth, into the ocean, into our being, so that we can dedicate the merit of this practice to all beings. Again, this visualized practice is a non-dual teaching. Just know, as I said earlier on, that everything that comes into our mind, all appearances are illusory fabrications. And we brought into mind compassion. We brought into mind Kuan Yin, and we let it go. Okay? We let it go. So just as we can bring Kuan Yin and other bodhisattvas into our mind and we let them go, that means that when anger arises in our mind, we can let it go. When frustration arises in our mind, we can let it go. When pleasure arises in our mind, we can let it go, because they're all fabrications. Yeah. And I want to, on this topic of non-duality, of gender, of sexuality, of reality, we can be left with this question: who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And the terror of who am I? One day I was sitting with this reflection of who am I? And this teaching came to me so strong. The word nobody. But breaking up that word, no body. Yeah, we have no body. This body that we are so attached to, that we are so attached to, that we so identify with. And okay, we can have an identification with this body. We need to have certain identifications of the body to be able to survive in this world. And at some point, we have to let go of the identification of the body, because we are no body. We are just condensed lumps of energy. This is why we're interconnected. You don't have to be a scientist. We are energy, lumps of energy. But because we are in this form, we forget that we are interconnected with the earth. It's not the body and just the earth. It's not the body and just the water element. It's not the body, just the wind element. It's not the body, just the fire element. It's not the body and just the space element, or the body and consciousness element. We are earth, wind, fire, water, space, consciousness. Yeah, we are just energy. We are no body. That's who we are. And there is freedom. There is freedom in that. And there is a path to get to that. Okay. It's not like we just sit and think, okay, I have no body. I am no body. There is a path to get that. As Dogen, in the words of Dogen, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. Okay. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. So if we're going to study the self, we have to come into relationship with all our identities, the identities that society projects onto us. And that's the place we can begin to let go of the identities. Stop walking in the prison of identities that people project onto us. That's where we can begin. Okay. Dogen says, to study the self, we have to let go of the self. But we can only begin to let go of the self until we begin to understand what it is that we have to let go of. And when we let go of the self, we will be illuminated by a myriad of things, which will not be binary, which will not be dualistic. Yeah. So let's take pride in this teaching, in this non-dual teaching. There is so much in this non-dual teaching. But let's take pride in this, because when we begin to glimpse a bit of it, we will begin to experience some freedom, some liberation. And many of you, if you sat with me before, will hear me quote Adishanti. Once we think we've got it, we've lost it. Okay? So it's a continual practice. Once we think we've got it, we've lost it. In that moment of me sitting, realizing, oh my God, this word nobody. Oh my God, that's no body. Yeah. In that same moment, I lost it. Yeah. That's because getting it and losing it is all part of the same. So may I hearken to the cries of the suffering. May I begin to transmit the compassion of Kuan Yin. I tell you, once upon a time, I wanted to be famous. You know, if I was young now, I'd be trying to be an influencer on TikTok. I'd be trying to be an influencer. When I was young, I wanted to be famous, this thing of being famous. And now I just want to have the compassion of Kuan Yin. That's just all I want, is to be able to radiate the compassion of Kuan Yin. And that just moves me, how things change in permanence. Okay, so we move into question time. Okay. Let's just take a moment of pause before we move into question time. Okay. Due to illness, I am presently a disabled body after 39 years of being able body. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And many of us, this transition of able bodied into disabled body again. This dualism. When alone in the now, I feel peaceful. I feel pride in a way I found refuge in the practice during the challenges. Well done. When around others, the confidence wavers. With some, I hear their pity or receive their beliefs I've wronged somehow. I find myself avoiding those I love. How can we work with pride rationally? Maybe I'm not as proud in this current form as I think I am. Thank you so much for this deep question. Well, one of the things I just really want to begin at where you began, that you had 39 years of being able-bodied and due to illness, you're presently disabled, and just for all of us remembering the impermanence that we, this being able-bodied isn't necessarily permanent. And I just want to acknowledge the age that you are, because we tend to think that, you know, if we move into being differently abled or being disabled, that it will come in later life. And as we know, it can come at any age. And some of us are born disabled. And I use the word differently abled because we are differently abled, just so this binary of disabled and able-bodied is as if one is better than the other, and neither is better than the other. Yeah. And I just want to also acknowledge how you found peace and pride in your practice, because it is in these moments when we've had something and it's been taken away from us, out of our control, it's really hard. And what do we turn to? And you turned to your practice. Some people would have turned to alcohol, some people would have turned to drugs, and some people would have turned to rage and anger, and you have turned to your practice. So I just want to say well done, and acknowledge at times your confidence wavers. And this is normal. This is a normal response to something that has happened to you. It's a normal response. You've had the luxury and the privilege to be able to have all your faculties to be able to move in the world in a particular way. And then illness comes and you're not able to move in the world in the same way. And so it's a normal response for your confidence to waver at time. Okay, there's nothing wrong with your confidence wavering at time. And the practice is just acknowledging, I'm experiencing vulnerability right now. What is it that I need? Yeah. And so you right here, I hear, with some, I hear their pity. And so I just want to say that
and wondering when you hear the pity, if you can acknowledge this is a story, that you've gone into a story, there's your vulnerability and you've gone into story, oh, they're pitying me. And it may be that they are really being compassionate and they're really feeling for you. And the way you hear it is because you're not when you hear their pity, you're actually hearing a narrative in your mind saying they're pitying me, and you're not really hearing or receiving the compassion or whatever it is that people are giving you, or receive their beliefs, I've wronged somehow. Again, this is an old story, and the question and reflection that I have for you is when was the first time you experienced being wronged? How old is that story that I'm being wronged? Yeah. And know that this story doesn't belong to these people. And again, we have absolutely no idea. So I don't want to, you know, I want to say your experience. So you have the experience of people are pitying you and wronging you. And it is a story that you're listening to. Yeah. And so because of this story, what happens? So we have this story, they're pitying me, I'm being wronged. And then your action is you find yourself avoiding those you love. Yeah. So, yes. So the teaching is to really see if you can let in the love and just know that your body, however it is unique. And just know in that uniqueness, you can have freedom. You can have liberation, okay? It sometimes I think that those of us that have all our mental and emotional faculties and those of us who have all our physical faculties, sometimes I think we've just got too much. It gets in the way. It gets in the way of finding an end of suffering. Yeah, it gets in the way. And here you've been given this strong practice. And just know that you can have liberation and freedom in this practice. So again, how can we work with pride relationally? Yeah. I think you've answered this question. I'm not as proud in this current form as I think I am. So you have awareness, and I want you to really listen to that awareness. So what it means is that it's just alerting to you to the fact that there's some more work for you to do to love, like, and accept yourself in the current condition. Yeah. And who knows? We don't know whether this condition will be permanent or impermanent. But what we know is right now is that you are in this body that isn't working in a way that you would like it to work, and accept, really accept that. And I want to tell you that it's over. It was when I was writing Detox Your Heart. No, it was actually when I was writing my novel, Borrowed Body. So that's a long time ago, 25, 28 years or even more. And I did something to my arm, my hand, that I couldn't even wipe my backside. I couldn't. And I was just like, okay. So I was just so used to having this strength, and I just couldn't, and going on retreat and saying, I can't do the jobs on retreat, and telling myself people just think I'm trying to make an excuse. And it was, I couldn't carry a bag. I couldn't swim. Like, I just couldn't. And I can remember actually being on retreat and just accepting this is my lot. This is it. it's okay. It really is okay. And in that space of acceptance, something happened. I can't tell you what happened, but something happened. And, you know, yes, I have the mobility. It's not the same mobility, but I have that mobility back again in that acceptance. Again, with concussion, I had a really bad concussion 15 years ago, hitting my bed, hit my head against the wall. And I was slurring words. I was literally slurring words. Yeah. And I just had to come into acceptance. It's okay. It really is okay. Yeah. It really is okay. And so how did I come into with that relationally was to begin to look after myself, to realize, okay, I have to give myself more sleep. Okay, I can't do the things that I've always been able to do. Okay, I'm not just going to be as quick as I used to be. I'm not going to be able to remember in the same way. And that is okay. Yeah, that really is okay. So acceptance, again, acceptance. And I just encourage you to do the practice. As somebody asked, what were the five phases of the practice? I just really encourage you to do the practice of the five basic needs of the heart. You can find that practice on Insight Timer. I have a guided practice of the five basic needs of the heart on Insight Timer. I also have it on roundglass.com as well. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Oh, thank you for posting things in the chat. And at this moment, I'm going to post something else in the chat. I will be teaching at the Omega Institute in upstate New York. So those of you who are in North America or on the East Coast, it would be lovely to sit with you in person. So I'm just going to post the link. Yeah, so that's a link to me being at the Omega Center. It'd be great to meet some of you and be with you in person. And also to, at this point, remind you of generosity. The non-dual teaching of generosity. Yeah. I can remember going on retreats, going on the Goenka retreats, which are all run on generosity. And they say there's no price to these retreats. You give what you can. And I can remember thinking, okay, this is how much I'm going to give. And then I would go on the retreat and my hand would open up and I would actually give more, because realizing that holding on to something was stopping me from being generous. Yeah. And one of the things that I do when I'm experiencing being tight with money, and I have to remind myself, because at the moment I'm experiencing being tight with money. It's not like I'm tight. I'm okay. I've got food to eat. I'm perfectly fine. But it's just like, okay, so I have a mortgage, blah, blah, blah. So I'm taking on a mortgage. I didn't have a mortgage for a while. Now I have one. And so I get tight. And so in that practice, I give. I open up and give. So like yesterday, to one of my teachers, normally I give them a certain amount and I doubled it, because it's like, okay, I'm fine. That opportunity to give. And so just to know that in your practice of dana and generosity, every time I'm able to give it, I'm smiling. It gives me joy, the joy of being able to give. In fact, one of my ordinands, somebody who I ordained last year, it was so beautiful. They told me the story of finding a $20 note in the station in San Francisco, and they saw these people who were homeless, and they weren't asking for money, but they were homeless. And they thought of me. They said they thought of me because they knew that I would give this money to this person, to these people. And they gave that money to the person. And the joy in that person's face when they received that money, and the joy of the person who I had ordained was giving this money. And then the joy I received in that person teaching, in that person telling me that practice, and that they thought of me. So again, how our actions reverberate, that we are interconnected. So again, it's a real, some of you, I want to say thank you, because I know some of you have a subscription and you give Dana monthly. So I just really want to say thank you to all of you. And I don't have the opportunity to say thank you when I receive Dana from you. So I just want to say thank you. Just really thank you for those of you who are able to give Dana. And I just want to say 87 people of you turning up today is a generous act. Turning up to hear these teachings is a generous act. So as I say, it's not dualistic. Yeah. In fact, that act of generosity isn't just about giving. We have to learn to receive as well. So even just coming back to this person who was talking about when people are perhaps giving compassion, they experience it as pity. How can you begin to receive their generosity? Yeah, because it's a generous act to be able to receive as well as to be able to give. It's all part of the same energetic practice. So, Dana, yes. Okay. So, next question. Thanks for your guided meditation. It occurred to me that in Enneagram system, pride is a fixation for the giver personally type. You mentioned that the pride you were talking about is not based in conceit. How can we tell the difference? Yeah. Yes, it's really, for me, again, it's not dualistic. We have to be aware of the near and far enemies of pride, just like we have to be aware of the near and far enemies of compassion, because actually, again, pity can be a near enemy of compassion. Okay, so again, pride, and I would say that the near enemy of pride is this conceit. Yeah, when we begin to puff ourselves up at the expense of somebody else, that's when we know, at the expense of somebody else, we know the difference when we begin to think we are better than another being, when we think that we can do things better and that we know best and that we're better than the other beings. These are certain, and these are kind of the far enemies of pride as well. Okay. So pride isn't about being better than everybody else. You know, the pride I'm talking about again is really just acknowledging the achievements, acknowledging how far you've come, acknowledging how you have changed. And thank the goddess and the gods and the devas for impermanence, because if I had never changed, oh my God, I would more likely be dead now. I'd either be dead or be in prison. I would have either been killed, or I've taken my life, or be in prison if I had not changed. Yeah. And so I take pride in the fact that I have changed. Yeah. And that I have changed. And that in my change, it impacts others. If I had never have changed, I would have still been impacting others.
in an unskillful way. So these are the ways that we can begin to really notice the difference.
Okay, let me see. Do we have any other questions? Yeah. Let me just look through the chat. Okay, well, part of questions is curiosity and letting go of, oh, is this a good question? Is this a sensible question? Again, it's just curiosity. Part of Dharma practice is curiosity. Some of you may have grown up on the aphorism I grew up in with, curiosity killed the cat. Well, I brought the cat back again. Okay. Yeah. In fact, there would be some of us who had curiosity stamped out of us before we even arrived at school at the age of 3, 4, or 5. Yeah. It's almost as if we were told asking questions is a bad thing. Yeah. So again, just really wanting to invite your questions, encourage your questions or reflections. It's also very lovely to read your reflections because we all are impacted by Dharma. Would you say there was a marked difference between the realizations of non-binary and other realizations to do with who we are? Well, I would say that, again, realizations are realizations, yeah. And really, I think that the realizations that anchor all those realizations so that we don't go into dualistic thinking is seeing things how they really are, yeah. If we are to begin to be on that path of liberation, how can we really begin to see things how they really are rather than see things how we want them to be? Because we often navigate the world by how we really want things to be rather than seeing things how they really are. So again, just really coming back to the LGBTQIAS2+, there are many of us who weren't able to see things how they really are, weren't able to see that, yes, we were queer, that, yes, we were non-binary, that, yes, that we were trans, that, yes, actually, we were in the wrong body. Yeah, we weren't able to see that because of society, because of the people around us, and we try to see things how we wanted them to be, that we want to be hetero, or we want to be cis in the body that we were cis, and we weren't able to come into acceptance of seeing things how they really are. So in answer to your question, I would say that one of the core teachings of Dharma is seeing things how they really are rather than seeing things how we want them to be. And when we begin to see things how they really are, we begin to have freedom and liberation. And so it may be, you know, we touch into suffering, you know, and that's okay, because suffering is part of life. If we experience pleasure, know that suffering is also around the corner. Suffering and pleasure is part of the same equation. It's not dualistic.
And so, again, those of you who are celebrating Pride during these next few months, wishing you really, really well. Yeah. It was a proud moment for me when I was in the UK a couple of months ago, a month ago, and on the streets of Pride, I think it was 50 years of the Gay Liberation Front when they first took to the streets, and was in the streets with 1.5 million people celebrating Pride. What a moment to take over central London, wherever you were. There were people celebrating, acknowledging Pride. And yeah, we are interconnected because it was people of all sexualities and all genders celebrating that moment. And I would say there was 2 million because the police always make that number less, that moment. And so, yeah, just. And again, how can I use my privilege of being able to celebrate that? Because we know that in certain countries, because of this binary thinking, because of this dualistic thinking, that people are still killed for being queer, for being trans, for being lesbian, for being gay, for being bisexual, for being two-spirited. People are still killed. So the work is not over. May we call on Kuan Yin. Yeah. She who hearkens to the cries of the suffering. Yeah. And may some of you come and sit with me in September. Okay. So that's bringing this to a close. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being with me. Okay. All right. We'll just end with the mantra. Om Kuan Yin Pu Sa, 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 Om Kuan Yin Pu Sa. Okay, and so just noticing the transition. We're still in the sky, still in the earth, still in the ocean. We're just going to be doing something different. So just notice and be mindful as you move into the rest of your day. Thank you.